Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every weekday, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme. And as you know, February is Black History Month. So our theme today is Black History. All of my guests will discuss unique aspects of Black History. My first guest recited the Gettysburg Address for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in Detroit at the age of six. She studied modern society, and she'll tell us what needs to be done to stop an entire generation of young blacks from being wiped out. My second guest is Al Capone's grandniece. She's going to tell us what it was like growing up in the Capone family. And why do you say I'm having Al Capone on? Because our theme is Black History? Well, you're just going to have to wait and listen. She'll connect the dots for you. My third guest is a widely published historian and former U.S. congressional candidate. He'll explain the significance of George Washington Carver to African-American history and to the world. And remember, if you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Dorma Magruder is a gifted national public speaker since the age of 4 years old. She addressed crowds from size of 10 to 10,000 in political, educational, social, and religious venues. As I mentioned, at 6 years old, she recited Lincoln's Gettysburg Address for Dr. Martin Luther King in Detroit at Cobo Hall. That year was 1963, and that was before he gave his initial version of the I Have a Dream speech. Dorma has attended Mercy College and Wayne State University studying business administration. She has been a newspaper columnist and host of a cable television events show for the city of Detroit. She's also the author of two novels based on her life, I Had No Choice and Impossible Is Yours. Dorma, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I am wonderful. Thank you for having me, Bill.
Well, it's a pleasure, and I always like to have thought leaders, particularly ones that can relate to our theme, and you certainly relate to our theme today, Black History Month. So I'm going to start with sort of the overall climate in the United States today. We've got President Barack Obama's in the White House, so you'd think that the future of Black America is improving because we have our first African-American president. But you're not so sure. I mean, you're on record as saying Black people are killing themselves by guns and needles and just not caring. So I'm going to ask you to sort of give us an overview. What is the state of Black America today as you see it?
I think that let me answer the questions in the order in which you asked them. We're elated that we do have a Black president, but that is not the answer. That is a major milestone. It is a major source of encouragement and inspiration, but let's not forget, this was a long time in coming, and many people died and were tortured and were lynched and were burned alive and countless other atrocities that we may never know about just to get the right to vote, just to get the right to sit at a lunch counter, just to get the right to sit beside you on the train or the plane. So all of those things are important. The question about Black America at this point, yes, we have come a long way. Black America, we've done some wonderful things. I am proud of my African-American brothers and sisters overall. However, something has happened where now it is okay for my young black neighbor to go and shoot my young black other neighbor, for my young black neighbor to get some of the other kids involved in drugs and illegal activities. That, there's something wrong with that. We have to stop that because we're losing a generation, and we're going to keep losing until, as I have said, we're going to have to go into a museum and say, this is what a black man looked like, this is what a black woman used to look like. If we can educate, that's the answer, education. And yes, the deck is stacked against us as blacks. Still, we don't have everything that we need. But have we done everything that we can with what we do have? And at the risk of infringing on your third guest, something that a lot of people don't know, if my research is correct, George Washington Carver was castrated at a very young age.
No kidding.
Yes, because his slave master did not want him having sex with the white women in the house. So he was castrated. And one of the things, and it sounds like I'm wavering, but I really am going somewhere. One of the things that made President Nelson Mandela's incarceration so powerful is that he was deprived of the two most basic, most crucial human rights and human needs, sex and food. No, he wasn't starved to death, but he couldn't get in prison, but he could get at home. There was no sexual activity for him with his wife for all of those years. So here we have George Washington Carver deprived of this, having never known it, but still, you're deprived of it. And what did he do? He went on to get degrees, graduate degrees in botany, when many blacks didn't even know what it was. And right now, it is impossible to walk into any store anywhere and not see a bare minimum of two products that are a direct result of George Washington Carver, peanut oil and peanut butter.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
And that was because of him. The second thing is, that is because he used his mind instead of his circumstances. And that's what we have to do as blacks. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. graduated and started at Morehouse College at 15 because he skipped the 9th and the 12th grades because of how intelligent he was. And he received his Ph.D. in 1955, 10 years before the Civil Rights Movement got to its peak. Using his mind. This is what I say that I want my African-American brothers and sisters to do. Let's use our minds. Let's put down the guns. Because once you kill somebody, that life is over. Let's put down the guns and let's talk about it. How did President Obama get the tax bill done? He sat down and he talked to them. No, both sides didn't get everything that they wanted, but both sides got something. And how many millions were saved because of conversation versus anger versus malice versus violence. Let's sit down and let's talk about it.
All right. We're talking to Dorma Magruder, everybody. We're talking about Black History Month. That's our theme today. And Dorma, I want to circle back around because there was a lot of information that you just gave us in that answer. And I want to come back to what you said about guns and killing people and black neighbors shooting other black neighbors. The reality is we live out here in California where we have obviously a very large Hispanic population. And the same thing is happening amongst the Hispanics as well. And I'm going to contend that it's not necessarily black or white or Hispanic or Chinese or any other ethnicity as much as it is poverty that drives gang violence. And poverty is what drives people to join a gang and have a sense of family from that gang, that they're certainly not receiving that sense of family at home. What would you say to that?
I would say that's true to some degree. And maybe it's because I am African-American that I'm so sympathetic toward the blacks, but yes, there is that sense of family, but again, this is where education comes in, because if you are in California and I am in Detroit, you and I can be friends. You and I can become, in the real sense of the word, brother and sister. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. No, we don't have the same parents, but we can become brother and sister. However, the problem comes in where one of us is going in that direction of violence. Why can we not become brother and sister? Why can't you say to me, Dorma, you know what? I'm your little brother because I'm probably older than you. I'm 53. But Dorma, look, I'm your little brother. Come on. This isn't right. Let's not do this. Let's do it this way. How come I can't say to you, you know what? We don't have to kill each other because we're fighting over the street. We're fighting over property. We're fighting over this piece of property, this city block, that city block. And guess what? Neither gang owns it. The city owns it.
Well, that is true. We're talking to Dorma Magruder, everybody. Well, Dorma, let me change gears for just a minute and talk to you about this. Other ethnic groups, Hispanics, Chinese, Koreans, of which we have a lot out here, have kept sort of a homogeneous society, while at the same time they're assimilating into the American culture. African Americans have not maintained that unique culture, nor have they really assimilated into American culture. So what is it that prevents African Americans from projecting a more unified cultural front, do you think?
One problem that exists in Detroit, let me restrict it to where I live. In Detroit, we have a Mexican village, we have Greek town, we have a community that is mostly Arabic. Yet when African Americans went to the city of Detroit to begin to develop an African town where it was black businesses and black restaurants and black hair salons and black clothing stores, we had the businesses ready to do it. We had the property ready. The city shot it down and said no. So that is an area where the deck is stacked against us. Now, what do we do about that? Instead of giving up on it, we should have fought for it with legislation. We should have fought for it with pen and paper. So we cannot mix in where we're not allowed, but we do not have to resort to violence in order to resolve it so that we can become a part of the population. Because guess what? Maybe we don't want to be part of the general population. Maybe we want to be another area that says, just like so many other ethnic groups, yes, we are part of the human family, but here is our uniqueness. Here is our outstanding characteristic. Here is what we do well. We do more than play basketball well. We do more than play football well. Guess what? We have excellent doctors. We have excellent nurses. We have astronauts. We have attorneys. We have so many things that we can offer that are unique to African Americans, but that we can put into the community if we're given the right chance.
All right, Dorma, let me ask a question in a more positive spin then. In what ways do you see African Americans flexing their muscles in politics, business, and society?
In politics, of course, our president, I am proud of him that his cabinet, much to the chagrin of many African Americans, they thought he was going to come and appoint a list of blacks to his cabinet. No, because all blacks are not qualified, but all blacks are not disqualified. He's in a key position. We have an outstanding cabinet as far as I'm concerned. We have many who are rising up in terms of governors and mayors and congresspeople, and they're doing very well. In terms of business, yes, we have opportunities that we did not have before, and we're capitalizing on them as much as we possibly can. There are still, as I said earlier, there's still some things that we can do better. But let's look at a Magic Johnson, who is a fantastic example of someone who excelled in sports, and then, of course, he contracted the AIDS virus. So part of it is, there's a double-edged sword there. Many people are saying, well, Magic has AIDS and he's living with it, so it doesn't matter. I can have unprotected sex. However, Magic has unlimited money, so he can go and try new techniques that may not be available. Yet, he is still a proponent of safe sex. But look what he did. He got out of basketball, and what has he done? He's become a phenomenal businessman. Look at Michael Jordan, a phenomenal businessman. Look at MC Hammer, an entertainer who is now investing in heavily Silicon Valley and computer development. That's where the African business community is going.
Well, and let's not forget the leader of Jet Magazine and the whole media publishing, as well as closer to your home, Isaiah Thomas, is now a very prominent businessman as well. So we're talking, everybody, to Dorma Magruder. We're talking about the state of Black America today. And in your earlier discussion, Dorma, you mentioned that have Black people, you asked the question yourself and unfortunately didn't answer it. You asked, have Black people done the best that they could do to improve their lot in life? So I'm going to ask the question to you and see if we can get an answer. Have Black people done the best they can to improve their situation?
Some have, some haven't, and guess what? Can I be honest and tell you a secret and you promise you won't tell anybody?
Only the thousands of people that are listening to the sound of your voice, dear.
Okay. Some of us have, some of us haven't, and Dorma has to go in the latter category. Because when I am objective and when I stop and look, as I have been doing some serious soul searching over the last few weeks, few months, few years, I haven't exercised the absolute best opportunities that have come my way, and I should not have done that. I think that one big thing, we as blacks, there was no saying that says if you want to keep something from a black person, put it it in a book because they don't read. We as a community and as a population, we need to read more. Some of us need to learn how to read, but those of us who do know how to read, DORMA has an obligation to reach out and mentor an adult, a young person who doesn't know how to read, to help them learn how to read so that they can advance themselves. My daddy told me when I was 4, anything you want to know is in a book. Just learn how to read. And that is how I've been able to make it up the ladder as I have. We have not done everything that we can. There is a situation where when felons are released from prison, they're told you cannot get financial aid. You cannot get loans to go to school. So as a result, they go back out into the street. Guess what? That's a lie. I don't know all of the details, but I'm working on it, and it'll be posted on my website within the next 5 to 6 weeks. But you felons can get financial aid, go back to college to make something of themselves. Sometimes it takes a little more digging. We come from a string of people, a bloodline of people, a race of people that did not give up easily. And it's not time for us to give up now. Let's get our education. Let's learn what we can. Let's take the very best that we have and use it and build more and build better and do better and be better.
All right. We've been talking to DORMA Magruder, everybody. We've been talking about the state of Black America today. DORMA, if people are interested in what you're saying, they like the sound of your voice, they want to learn more, where would you direct them to go on the Internet to learn more about you or maybe learn about the books that you yourself have written?
My website is www.dormamagruder.com, and that's DORMAMCGRUER.com. A telephone number, which I answer myself, 313-205-0000. And the first book, I Had No Choice, talks about my abusive relationship and how I got out of it. And I call it I Had No Choice because I had no choice but to leave. And I didn't know I was a battered woman because he never hit me. And I do touch on some African-American history in that book because there's a lot of things that we didn't know, especially about abuse and the Black race and how it got started in a lot of ways. And Impossible Is Yours is the sequel to that, and it talks about where I want to go with my life and where I am sharing with my Black brothers and sisters. Guess what? Impossible is yours. It's ours. It belongs to us.
Well said. All right. We've been talking to DORMA Magruder, everybody, about the state of Black America today. DORMA, thank you so much for being my guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you.